Hello and welcome to Squid Pro Quo, a Squid Game podcast where there are only three rules. One, a player is not allowed to stop podcasting. Two, a player who refuses to podcast will be eliminated. And three, the podcast will be terminated if the majority agrees. I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike, and I gotta tell you, Sean, the game is to agree, guys!
Dude, what did I say at the end of episode one? What did I say?
You said that they're not going to do it? Is that what you said? Oh, okay.
I said that.
Wait. Before we get into the episode, hold on. We have a couple things we got to talk about before we get into the episode, Sean. I know you're chomping at the bit.
I'm chomping at the bit,
but we asked a question to our Squid Game, Squid
Gonbu for life. I gotta say, also, we gotta talk about that because might need to rename ourselves.
Here's the thing, they're not, they kind of, we'll talk about it. So we asked, like, what did you ask? If you were one of the four people that had to pick the shape of the cookie challenge, what's your strategy? What argument would you make to get the other players to agree? Are you willing to take the umbrella?
Here's what I gotta say, listeners, dear listeners, if you're not gonna listen, if you don't understand the question, maybe don't answer. We had some answers from our good friends, Egg. Fucking Egg.
Oh my God.
Just did not understand the question. And Egg should sleep with one eye open because really did not understand the question and still answered.
Egg needs to look out at SpaghettiCon when we do a live Squid Game competition and Sean's sleeping
next to
him.
I'm going to take a steel chair and fucking smash it over his head at SpaghettiCon.
Or when we have the live struggle tournament.
Yeah. We did get from Scotty_C_33, though, on the Discord, which I assume the link is in the description or something. You guys should go join. He said, that Brighton guy is painful to watch. Talking about end of episode three. Actually, I had to stop mid-episode instead of the end just to not be drawn in by a cliffhanger, which is so smart. They're really good at that.
Very smart.
But he said, as for what I'd do, me and the wife discussed as we were watching, and she said that she'd encourage everyone to play odds and evens to make it random and fair. I responded by saying, what if someone said they didn't want to do that? In which case, she responded with, then I'll just die.
Smart. Jip also answered, my hands shake, so there's no way I'm taking the umbrella. I think I could do the other shapes, though. I would be willing to do the star if I got others to agree. So Jip going for, like, the third worst shape.
I guess, but I think, like having watched it, we see that being willing to take the star doesn't mean anything.
Right, no. Like, well, kind
of. Every time there was somebody willing to take the star.
Yeah, but I don't know. I guess we'll talk about it when we get in the episode. But I think the catalyst for getting our new friend Spencer to take the umbrella was Mr. Dreadlock Man taking the star.
Okay.
So, but we'll talk about it when we get into it. But another thing I think we should probably mention is that upon the release of this show, there are some contestants from the game threatening legal action against Netflix because of hypothermia and nerve damage while shooting the red light, green light game. And we talked about last episode if we thought that that was just like people being sour grapes because they lost. And you mentioned you said, hey, there's some people that are clearly cold during this.
I think so. I mean, you know, I just pulled up the Deadline article right now because this is the first time that I have the first time that I'm looking at it. And it was, Netflix confirmed at the time that they filmed it that three of the 456 players required medical attention, which isn't good, you know?
I mean, that's a decent percentage, though.
It is, no, yeah.
Considering, like, that you have, like, 400, these 450-some people, like, doing a physical activity for only three to need medical attention, that's actually not a bad clip. The problem is if the medical attention was due to cold working conditions, like that's something they probably should have foresaw and took care of, right?
Yeah. Like right now, it's just threatening legal action. The show said no lawsuit has been filed by any of the Squid Game contestants. We take the welfare of our contestants extremely seriously. So, you know, the group, the the law firm, their statement was, contestants thought they were taking part in something fun, and those injured did not expect to suffer as they did. Now they have been left with injuries after spending time being stuck in painful stress positions in cold temperatures. And one of the things that I was thinking of, I know it sounds funny, but here's what I'm going to say. One thing I noticed, and I wanted to bring this up last time, but I forgot while watching, is thinking about this from a production standpoint. When you're watching this show and you're watching these shots of everybody going down and these dramatic shots of them on the ground and these slow-mo, like, those are camera setups. Like, it's edited to look like we get the wide shot. There's no other cameras on that field when they're running. So we get that wide shot. We know that they're running and there's nothing there, which means when they get to stop, it's everybody freeze. We got to move the camera so we can get shots of the people that are going down.
For sure.
We got to get a close up of every single person. Like, it takes way longer than it looks to get that done. Like, it looks like it's a pretty quick process to do all of that. It didn't look like it took a lot of time.
No, that was probably like a 10-hour shoot.
Yeah, every close up, every like side shot, everything is a camera setup where they have to stop and hold their position for however long. So, I mean,
the squat girl really made a bad decision.
I paid actress. She's got to be, especially on a rewatch, dude. She's got to be a paid actress.
You think she's a paid actor?
I think so. Who would do that? Who would do that?
Oh, why did I squat?
But yeah, I just, like, for anybody that's thinking, hey, man, I watched this and it didn't look that bad, I think, like, it's impossible for us to really know what it was like just from watching it, because really, I mean, that could have been, like you said, a 10-hour shoot of camera resets just to get the right, what they needed.
I agree with you. I just think the legal argument of, this was supposed to be fun and I didn't have fun, is, like, the worst legal argument I've ever heard.
Well, it's... It's funny, especially when you take into context, like, it's Squid Game.
Right.
But we are in the real world still, you know? I think is more the point is, like, hey, just because we're doing this Squid Game show doesn't mean that we actually live in the Squid Game world where this is okay.
No, like, I agree.
Yeah.
I just think that legal argument's, like, a funny thing to say. Like, we thought we were going to have fun, and instead we didn't.
It's kind of like, the game is to agree, guys.
The game is to agree. So, the great segue, Sean. The game is to agree. Last episode, we left off with the game is to agree guy refusing to move to the umbrella. And we were like, "They're you said it. They're not making it, and they did not." And so that's eight people down just for not being able to make this, like, to agree to a decision here.
Hey, and you know what? There's two things I'm going to say. First of all, I am a prophet. I am clairvoyant. Mm-hmm. I did see this coming.
Like,
don't
like Jada.
Yeah. I mean, I'm more like the big guy that Brighton's a big fan of, but I'll take Jada too.
Okay. You're more like God. Got it. Okay.
I'm more like God. Yeah. I don't worry about the fact that I did predict a lot of things last episode that are wrong now.
Right.
Because a lot of people got out that I thought were going to be in this for longer.
You're like a weatherman.
Don't worry about that.
You're like a weatherman.
Look, sometimes I'm right, dude. Yep. And sometimes the devil interferes.
Yeah. You can't. That's not your fault.
It's not my fault. The other thing is, if Brighton hadn't been in the next group of people, I think we would have lost like 40 more people.
Oh, for sure. So we get the next four people. There's 452, which I don't believe we get his name. But I'm effectively calling him the main character. Like, if this was a television show, they would solely be focused on him.
Is he the dreads guy?
No. Because it's the guy that he gets the circle.
Oh, okay.
And people love him. People are like, this guy. Yes. And then we have Brighton, 432. We have Dreadlock guy, who we don't get his name either, 344. And then we meet the best character of episode 2, 299. Spencer.
I have never felt this way before in my life, Mike. I felt so bad watching
for Spencer.
Like, painfully bad.
Yeah, so we meet Spencer, and they're like, you know, he's in line four, so they're like, you got to take the umbrella. At one point, though, I will mention, before they really get going, Brighton asks his team, hey, are you guys cool if I just take the umbrella? And they're like, what the fuck? No, dude. And he's like, okay.
One guy goes, I'd be okay with that. And he's like, you would be?
Yeah, he's like, you would be? So, like, Brighton trying to take down his whole team in the process. But they don't go that way. But Spencer is worried. Spencer.
Well, he starts to cry.
He starts crying. And Brighton's like, Jesus Christ, bro, don't cry. Don't cry. Like, what? Don't cry.
That's like, Brighton is like Marvel comedy.
Oh.
Like, that's
okay.
Like a, that's like a Marvel comedy thing. Like, that's a joke in a Marvel movie that if it happened in a Marvel movie, people would be like, oh, Marvel movie undercutting the tension again. Nobody would say that in that scenario.
No,
you know,
I don't know, man. I think that's pretty relatable. I think I would just, I might not say it, but I'd just be like, really, dude, you're fucking crying?
No,
come on.
You'd think it, but who would say it?
I might.
Like,
I
might say it.
To
you
that,
might
to
be Brighton.
Like, come on, bro. Pull together, man. Like, don't cry. Like,
I feel like that's different than, hey, please stop crying, bro. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So then we get our first sit down with Spencer. And Spencer reveals some shit about himself that I don't know that I would say to anybody, let alone television cameras interviewing me in a room. He says he used to wet the bed.
Every time he started talking. Yeah, every time he everybody in the show, you guys are talking too much. Yeah.
He says he used to wet the bed. He says he's very gullible. He says a lot of things. And this at this point, I typed this note, Sean. And last episode, you had compared 161 to the Joker.
Yeah, yeah.
And Brighton to like Lex Luthor type.
Yeah.
This guy's the Riddler. Okay? Spencer is the Riddler, but
it wasn't supposed to be like this.
This is like before he like this is his moment that causes him to become the Riddler. I'm convinced.
Oh my god.
So we meet him a little bit and then they're finally sending him in and Leanne yells, "Be honorable!" And I was like, what a
that
mom
fucking, that
thing
was so
to
funny.
Yell. What a fucking mom thing to yell. So I also typed here, dreadlock guy is dope. Because he's just dope.
That's true.
He's a dope dude, all right? I'm just throwing that out there right now.
You're a big dreadlock guy fan.
I just like this guy in particular because he's got the glasses and the dreadlocks.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, he's like smart, but he's cool, you know?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about him.
Also, contributes to the worst day of Spencer's life.
Yes, because he's the one that goes, hey, man, let's just man up. And he walks right up to the star because he's number three because that would be his. And he goes, let's just man up. The other two guys go to the circle and the triangle and Spencer is left there. And this really funny exchange happens where Spencer keeps going, listen to me, listen to me. And they're listening.
Yeah.
And he goes, you guys aren't listening to me. Like, he's just freaking out. And
like, dude,
they're like, hey, we're listening.
So
and he goes, listen to me. And it's like, oh, my God. So
where is she?
Yeah, it's nuts. And then he goes, this is going to sound sexual, but spit on someone else's cookie, please. And everybody's like, oh,
lick it.
Okay. And then Brighton goes, hey, man, if I get done with my cookie first, I will help you with yours. And he shakes his hand. And this woman in line four goes, are we really trusting the villain right now? And it's like, is this woman like me? She's me right now. Like,
Or
this whole show, how they haven't, like, no one's tried to take out Brighton. It's like, you're me. Like, she's like, we're trusting the villain? And
like, it's just, first of all, why would you ever think that they're going to let you help other people?
Right. There's way too many people for them to, like, put them all in one room and have them do it. Like, it's fairly obvious that each group's going to do it on their own.
And just, like, why would you ever think that they would ever let you help somebody?
I could see thinking, oh, well, you know, maybe they'll let us help each other. But it wouldn't be Brighton helping him. Like, that's just idiotic to think that.
And even if Brighton was in the same room, I don't think he's going to help
you. No, not at all. Not at all. So I typed in all caps, he did it, and line four is pissed.
Fucked.
They are angry.
Spencer also, when he says all this, he's like, we're all just trying to make it out of here. I'm like, no, you're
okay,
not.
Okay, I was
going to
say this
die,
earlier,
right?
And I forgot to say it. Spencer thinks he's going to die.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Spencer's on a different show. Spencer's on the actual Squid Game. He thinks he's going to die.
I'm like, you're gonna be fine, right? You just don't get the money. You know that. He's like, we're just all trying to make it out of here, guys.
So that
at the end of the day, we just all want to live. And I'm like, you're gonna live. It's okay.
No one's dying. So then the 2 minutes is up, and they've made it. Spencer last second puts his hand on the umbrella, and then they announce, players will not be permitted to assist other players. And Brighton almost cackles, dude. He's so pleased with himself.
Of course.
He's like, Spencer starts to retch. Like he's going to vomit. It's insane. The noises he's making, I'm like, is this a Foley? Like, is he actually making these noises? Because
like, there's no way,
oh,
right?
Oh, my God. Like but you see it physically, like he's like gulping, and he's like, you're like, oh my God, this guy's gonna fucking puke. Why did he go on this show?
And Brighton is going, please don't, dear God.
He's like,
please
Jesus
don't.
Christ, bro. Jesus Christ, bro, don't puke. Jesus Christ. So then we get
Dreds is laughing.
Yeah, Dreds guy's laughing. He's like, hey, you got fucked, buddy.
Yeah. Before we do that, before we talk about the talking head where it's just holy fuck, I do want to say in the lines, when they cut to the lines, they go, we did it. We did it. What the fuck? You didn't do shit.
Yeah, you didn't do anything. You just Brighton happened to be in the front of the line with Spencer. That's what happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. A weak man and Brighton were together.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you got. I love you, Spencer, but man, what the fuck?
We
got to
get Spencer on the show. We got to get Spencer
I'd love
on the show.
To. I feel so bad for Spencer.
Yeah, we got
to
get him on the show. So then Spencer, we get to this talking head where he talks about he's a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
And so if people that don't know, he's a Mormon.
Yeah. And then he goes on to talk about how he's been questioning some things. And I just typed in all caps, Spencer is questioning God? Like, well, why are you telling this on a talking head on a reality show?
What? Look, dude, Brighton got his ass so bad that he started to question his faith in
God. Like, this is
I'm assuming
the talking head was before, right? Because this is when they're, like, meeting
them? The talking head, I assume, is after.
No, here's the thing, So they have two different talking heads. They have one where they're sitting at the desk and we meet them, and then they have the one where they're kind of in, like, the boiler room.
So you think this is the one from the beginning?
This is the one from the beginning, 100%.
Okay.
So he told them this before going on the show.
That's crazy.
Which is nuts. That's insane. Why
would you tell people that?
I don't know.
Why would you tell people that?
I don't know. Like, he's not going to be welcome at church on Thursday or whatever day they go to church. Like, it's Saturday. Yeah, it's Saturday. Don't they not work on Saturdays?
I don't know. I do know that legitimately, if he's still a member of the church, he's going to be receiving messages after that.
Yeah, they're not going to be happy.
No, when they find out shit like that, they're like, hey, we got to have a talk.
Yeah.
Like, we got to deal with this.
Right.
So that's not going
to
be good.
We cut to the circle crew, and they see 452, and everybody's jumping up and down. We got fucking circle. We got fucking circle.
They hold up circles.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird amount of passion.
And this is where I typed 452 is the main character. Because
he kind of is.
I will say, we talked about this off air. I think triangle is much easier than circle.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think if you think circle is the easiest shape, you're coped out of your mind. Because triangle has edges.
Dumb.
You can break it off. Like, it just...
Yeah.
I feel like circle's tougher than triangle, but...
I think circle is like, you see the number one and you think that means it's easiest.
Right.
You know?
So they get in there and they hand them their honeycombs. They're in the playground area.
I wanted so badly for it not to be circles.
I was wondering if there was going to be an umbrella twist, like they actually got like a line or something.
It wasn't,
right.
But I wanted so badly for it not to be circles.
Right, that would be really funny if they reversed it. Yeah. So they have 10 minutes to remove their shape without breaking the shape, cracking the shape.
One dude holds it up to the light to look through it, mm-hmm. which I just thought was funny.
And they immediately go to the strategy that it's in the actual show where you lick it. Some people throughout this, you see a like half inch deep set of water on top of it. Where did they get all this saliva?
They're just spitting.
And you'll see like people pulling out their saliva covered shapes. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's gross. I think they might be going a little hard on it.
Yeah.
I think it might be a little bit too much.
There's a lot of licking that happens. I wrote, this is mildly sexual.
Yeah.
I said last week, or last episode, I don't know what our cadence is for these, but I said, like, hey, I don't know how they're going to make this interesting, a bunch of people just licking and, like, trying to cut out shapes. I was wrong. This is some of the most intense television.
It's riveting.
I couldn't believe how much I was into, like, watching people do it. So they, a lot of
this
people
one
pass.
Girl goes for it at the beginning. This one girl is fucking going for it. And I just, everybody's kind of like tentatively, all right, we're licking. This one goes fucking in that shit.
Yeah, it's insane how some people go for it. But I get it. They're trying to win. A lot of people pass.
I liked Trey saying, if I'm going to win this game, I need to start playing like my mom.
Yeah. As his mom's just deep throating her fucking shape.
Well, she's spitting in the tin, too. So, I think she's the first person that we see that spits in the tin.
I did make a note when she passes, because Leanne and MatPat both pass, that I just wrote Leanne's saliva covered circle, because as she pulls it out, there's just strings of saliva.
Yeah. It's so gross.
There's not really a whole lot of drama in this one. There's some people that die. They when they do it, there's actually this really well shot one where, like, one girl's like, I think she's like, well, we were close or something like that. And like, they both die together. And it's like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right. Sean, as we call him.
Yeah. I
is
almost
in
didn't
trouble.
Make it.
He's I almost shaking. Did not make it. Like, he, and I typed, holy shit, it's like he's gonna die.
Yeah.
Because
he's
acting like he's going to die.
I think some of these people thought they were going to die.
I don't think they understood that this is not really the Squid Game.
I don't know. Do you think, like, they're shooting, like, the camera's on them, and behind the camera somebody's waving a gun? They're like, you never know.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. I think it's funny the guards aren't holding guns. I think they should have had them hold guns just for the effect.
Like, prop guns?
Yeah. Just for the effect, you know? And then, like,
dude,
one of these guns is actually real. And you're like, oh, shit.
What? And after he makes it, he goes, I love you. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Who? Why did you say that?
Yeah. Very strange. Sean, very strange guy. Not his
actual
name.
I made a lot
name.
Of weird choices when
you
I...
You did. You did.
Yeah, his name is Dash, but...
Yeah, but that could be just your nickname, and no one knows.
Yeah, well, it's because I like The Incredibles so much.
Right.
And they go back to the dormitory after they're done, and they become a cult so quickly. They're like... Circle, circle, circle. It's like, okay, guys.
Yeah.
Come on.
They chant 4-5-2, 4-5-2, because he's the main character.
But they also chant circle.
Yeah, they chant all kinds of things. They put him up on
it's
their shoulders.
And he didn't do anything. Brighton talked him into it. Brighton and the dreadlock guy talked him into it, Spencer into it more than he did. Like, he didn't do anything.
Like, you got the second easiest shape.
Yeah.
Like, what did you
and
do?
And you had to do nothing.
Okay, so we move on to Triangle, which is Brighton's crew.
Jesus Christ.
And I just wrote, God chose Brighton.
Yeah, that's it. That's all. I wrote, God chose me.
Brighton's a psych. He's a sociopath. He's a psychopath. He's insane. The more he talks, the more it's obvious that Kyle made a huge mistake by not eliminating him.
Yeah.
Just the more you're just like, this guy is going to murder everybody. Like, I kind of get why people think they're going to die, because Brighton's there. Between Brighton and 161, they should be frightened.
It might kill you in the middle of the night.
So not a whole lot happens during...
Well, one guy dies in front of Brighton.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is funny.
I wrote, what that tongue do at one point, because the first guy they show is just fucking going for it.
Yeah.
There's a guy, I don't remember if he passes or fails, but I thought it was Michael Keaton for a moment.
Oh, nice.
He's like leaning up against the wall, and I was like, was that Michael Keaton?
That's crazy.
The Joker.
Yeah, he had to make some money. The Flash didn't do well enough.
Right. Well, all these DC villains are here, so he's got to be here too.
Yeah.
The Joker 161 makes it. Of course he does.
We get another talking head from Brighton during all this where he says, like, I'm here for myself. The strongest survive.
Only the strong survive, yep. Yep.
It's like fucking crazy.
He ends up making it. Most people end up making it because, like I said, Triangle's a dog shit easy shape. And there's two haters, as I called them. I didn't. One was 179 Cheney, but they're two haters, and they say 432 is going to be gone soon.
Yeah.
They're just standing up against the wall. He's going to be gone. I don't know why, like, they assume that, but.
When they're back in the dormitory, people are like, great speech to Brighton. I'm like, fucking, what speech?
Yeah.
What speech?
He must have gave a speech. Maybe the speech.
Goes, that was a big dick move. Fucking what?
Maybe there was a speech that he gave, like, in the dorm afterwards, and then, like, they cut it because it made him too likable. I don't know.
I don't think so. I think these people are just stupid.
The speech he gave to Spencer, I guess, is what they're saying, but I don't.
But he just let Spencer talk himself into taking Umbrella. He didn't really do anything.
Right. Right. So then we cut to the Stars, and Danny is in the Stars, and she tells someone, well, I'll see you back in the dorm.
Like, no fucking.
And
no,
I wrote, Sean was right about Danny. She goes this talking head where she talks about how she doesn't love herself and no one likes her.
She has insecurities. She said that, like, my friends are all getting married and having children at 23, and I'm not even in a serious relationship. And I'm like, your friends are getting married and having children at 23?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy, actually.
Like, what the fuck are you talking about? You need therapy, not this game.
Yeah. So then we go to her working on the Star, and she starts in, this is a post talking head where she's talking about, you know, we did something wrong. We wronged somebody, and I'm just sitting here cutting out this shape, and I'm thinking about how we wronged somebody. And then her Star cracks.
Yeah.
And I just, the guilt.
Karma's a bitch.
The guilt took Danny. Yeah. She mentions karma, but it's the guilt. The guilt took her in the end, which I think is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. I had thought she was going to make it further, but
yeah.
She did not.
Yeah.
She did not. She got.
Dreads man makes it. Steven, who we learned about right away in the first game, makes it. But the Star takes a lot of lives. There's a lot of people that go
without. Kyle does not make it.
Well, Kyle's an Umbrella.
Oh.
Kyle's an Umbrella.
Oh, I just don't. I don't have any more notes until Kyle, I guess.
Yeah. So Kyle, because there wasn't really a lot that happened during the Star other than just a lot of people who we hadn't met did not make it.
And Danny. Make it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Kyle, as they're going in, makes this thing about, hey, I don't like Brighton 432, but I would have rather been there than what this Spencer guy did.
Yeah.
And I just typed, Kyle should have cut 342. It bit him in the ass.
You should have. I don't know why you didn't. It's so,
So everybody walks in the room where Spencer is, and people are just dogging this dude. Like, what an idiot. He's like, I can hear them talking about me.
He's like, going to throw up.
He's going to throw up again. I will say, the Umbrella that they get, way more winnable than the Umbrella in the show.
Right? Isn't it thicker? I said, isn't the Umbrella a little bit bigger?
The handle is way thicker.
Yeah.
Way more winnable than the one in the show was, like, thin. Very thin.
Yeah. I thought the same exact thing.
But they gave, and that's fair. I think that's fair. Like, you know, you give them a little bit more of a winnable Umbrella.
I don't, dude. Kill all these fucking people.
Spencer, again, starts puking.
Yeah.
And he's talking about how these people are going to remember this for the rest of his life, that he screwed him over. And just being really dramatic. And then he cracks his Umbrella and he just lays down and he's just constantly retching, dude. And I was like, this guy, what is wrong with him? And that's the last we see of Spencer. He is dead. Literally dead.
Yeah.
Karma
Kyle goes out.
Kyle goes out due to karma again. And he cracks his. There's one girl that goes, they do this classical music montage because a lot of people are going down. And this girl goes, oh, I was so close. And you look at it, and she was not at all. She was not at all close.
No.
I
there are these two girls that, like, hold hands as they die.
Yep. I typed, what the fuck is wrong with him? And I believe it's still about Spencer, because I think they show him, like, retching again on the ground.
Yeah, they do. On the ground, he's, like, convulsing.
The Australian Chad makes it.
Yeah.
270. Yep. Just no problem. And then my prediction from last one, 107, which we learned later, his name's Theo.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, come on, dude. Please, come on. You got this. And then he gets it, and I'm like, hell yes.
You might be the prophet, dude. I don't know. Like,
dude. 319 gets in at the buzzer.
Yeah. And, like, I think it's funny how quickly these people, like, latch on to each other.
Right.
Because, like, this random dude makes it. And she goes, We made it. We both made it. And they're, like, hugging and hugging. I'm like, you guys aren't going to die. Like,
right. And then the time runs out. And most people didn't crack their umbrella. Most people that died just didn't get it in time. And it plays the song, I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl, as it starts just showing all these people, you know, go down. And Trey walks in and he goes, the umbrella, Mary Poppins in this bitch, which I fucking loved. I think that's hilarious. Yeah. But did I say Trey? Theo. Theo says that.
Yeah.
Theo says that. Trey is like, hey, man, we got to get rid of 107. He was first. He was first in red light, green light. He made it through with the fucking umbrella. We got to get rid of this guy.
And guys, 4-3.
I know. But I did. But then Trey does mention 4-3-2, and I typed Trey is so based right now.
Okay, he is based
because he's at least focused on strategy. Hussein is 198.
Yeah, 198. Yeah,
and I said he's so based right now because he's like he keeps calling 4-3-2 a frat boy, and he was
4-3-2 goes. If you call me a frat boy again, I'm not going to touch you. But when we get off this bitch, I might.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Dude, come on.
Right. Right.
Really?
And then he does it anyway. He goes, frat boy. And the guy's like,
yeah.
You can tell he's got under his skin for sure. I do think 198 is cringe, but like that was based.
Well, I think he's based at this point.
Right. He hasn't gotten cringe yet.
He becomes cringe as we go through the rest of the episode. I liked when they got back to the dormitory and like everybody's clapping at like the number going down. Leanne is like, I'm not clapping for that. Those
right. Yeah,
friends.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
I was
not
like,
clapping
all right.
for that.
It's actually based.
I think the cheering for the results is hilarious. I'm like, it's time for the results. Everybody's like, woo! Yeah. It's like, you guys know what the results are. 119 left, 3.37 million in the piggy bank. I think the pig was shot better this time.
Yeah. Okay. They're learning.
They dimmed the lights this time. He was brighter. It was shot better this time. Steven,
dude, he was
very sad. Very sad about Kyle, his mullet brother, being gone.
Dude, I you know what might end up happening is Steven might be the last man standing in the like all the friends he makes throughout the show don't make it.
Yeah.
Kind of way.
Yeah,
you know?
It's definitely looking that way. He decides he needs a new alliance because all of his alliance. It sounds like Kyle wasn't the only person that he lost during that, but Kyle's the only one we know, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
And he makes an alliance with bunch of old dudes.
Also, I don't see the girl that he was always hanging around.
Yeah,
with
I think
before.
She's gone too. Yeah,
she might have. He might have lost that. And he makes an alliance with I think people that just happen to be standing next to him at that time.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't really do his research. He just kind of goes, "Hey, you guys are here. We'll be friends."
He's like, "I guess we're the new alliance," and they're like, "We need a name."
And they go, "We're the Ganbu Gang," and I'm like, "Guys,"
which Embracer Group will be reaching.
Yeah,
because like,
but
it's a little that might be copyrighted.
A member of the Ganbu Gang, Rick, old man
Dude,
Rick.
Look at how he's looking at them and how he blinks.
Yeah,
like.
Rick, remember, is an intellectual. He doesn't seem very smart, but he is actually an intellectual, according to him. So
Yeah. And I think he's playing it up, dude.
Yeah.
I think he's playing it up in the dorm.
Yeah. I think Rick's gonna backstab the Ganbu Gang. I just wanna throw that out there.
I hope so.
Here's the thing
literally.
Too. If the Ganbu Gang ends up being a tug of war team, they're going to go down.
Yeah.
There's not.
They're gonna be like old man strength,
right?
They're gonna realize old man strength can only help.
They're gonna
so
run
much.
Into Brighton's crew, and they're going down, dude. Like absolutely.
I'm really curious to see how they'll end up shooting that.
Yeah, well, and it's
the
like
tug of war.
It's like obviously the honeycomb game had a twist to like make it, even though it was familiar, to make it so people couldn't really strategize like going into it. So I'm assuming they're gonna do something like that with the tug of war one as well.
Probably.
Where maybe it's supposed to be tug of war next and they have them joining the teams and then it's actually not the tug of war game. It's like something that has nothing to do with strength, you know?
Yeah. I don't know.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens. We haven't watched anything other than episode 2, so don't spoil
us. No spoilers. Leanne is like tries to go suck up to Brighton and like tries to find a good side of him and there are none.
Yeah. She's like, "You're not abrasive." It's like, "Yes, he is." He 100%.
But Leanne is like, in a tug-of-war game, like, he has the strength to make up for me. And I was like, Leanne, he's not going to be on. He won't take you on his team in tug of war.
Yeah, he's not going to go, hey, let me fill my team with a bunch of like old women. Like, he's
not going
to. Doesn't
matter how much he likes you. He's not going to bring you with. He says that he dropped out with one semester left of college to come here.
Yeah, there's more to that story because, like,
what the fuck?
You don't have have a football scholarship and just decide to not go finish your schooling. Like, that just doesn't make sense.
And then he says the most insane shit I've ever heard.
Yeah.
In a talking head.
Yeah.
Where he goes, from the moment I was put on this earth, there wasn't anyone for me to trust.
Including my mother, because she's white.
Okay, look, I kind of understand what he's saying there. I think he's saying it in such a fucking crazy person way. But I understand the idea of like,
she
a
can't
young,
relate
single,
to me
white
being
woman
black.
Cannot,
yeah, exactly.
Cannot relate.
I'm not hating on that.
Yeah.
It's just the idea of not trusting your mother is insane.
Is
to
like,
me.
Dude, I just. The,
well, I guess it's not insane to me because I don't trust my mother, but like, but my mom also like smoked crack, so it's like that's why I don't trust her. Like, it's different.
Also, like, I don't know if you'd say that as like a talking head.
Yeah, I would. Well, I guess I'm saying it here on a podcast, but
that's true. Actually, so you might.
Yeah,
I
might, but that's not like something I'm like secretive about, I guess. But yeah, no, he. Whew. Maybe
know,
I'm Brighton.
You might be Brighton.
I might be Brighton.
You might be Brighton.
I would not drop out of school for the Squid Game, though. I can tell you that.
No.
I could tell you that.
But you would quit your job for it.
No, I wouldn't. I didn't. I clearly wouldn't because I didn't. During this time when they're talking, a worker comes out with a phone on a pedestal, and he just kind of sets it there, and everybody kind of gathers around it first, but then nothing happens. So,
we get some more, like, of other people, like there's a guy running breathing exercises.
Yeah, Dr. V, 330. There's an actual doctor, just like there was in the show, which is nice. He's hopefully not harvesting people's organs.
God, I hope so. That'd be
great.
That was such a good twist in the show.
Right.
Brighton does this thing where he's like, you know, the thing where the cheerleader jumps and they touch their toes. And he does that. I'm like, what? What was that about?
Yeah.
Why'd you do that?
Why are you doing that, Brighton?
What was that about? Why? That was weird.
So 198 is obsessed with the phone because he's convinced he's going to answer the phone and they're just going to go, hey, who do you want to eliminate?
He's not entirely wrong.
Well, he is because there's no way they're just going to do that.
He's a quarter right.
So he is like hanging by the phone and the phone rings and he picks it up and they go, because you answered the phone, we've brought you a food treat. And they bring him this platter with a ton of french fries and two burgers on it. And people just like hound him.
Yeah.
But he doesn't really
care. This might be the only time that I'm Brighton. Because
Brighton's like, y'all are disgusting. This is,
and they are scavengers.
Yeah.
Like, holy
Jada
fuck.
Grabs a whole burger and walks
and
away.
And just gets out. Which, based, to be honest.
Right. But people hound him. But he didn't want the food. He wanted a way to eliminate Brighton.
Look, here's my philosophy on this, right? If you can get in there, grab a whole burger and get out, that's okay. But the people that are like, got their hands all up in the french fries and they're like jostling him around, like, y'all are animals.
Right.
Like, and it's like, in the actual Squid Game, you're in a high stress environment. Okay. I could kind of understand if something like this had happened. You aren't going to die.
And the food they've been giving you has not been bad.
And it's been one day.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. People are,
you're fine.
People are wild. So he's disappointed that it wasn't a chance to eliminate somebody. So he's still waiting by the phone. But it's very obvious that they were trying to set up someone to answer the phone and make it seem like a good thing.
Yeah.
So they could pull the rug out from under them.
I'm sorry. I have to say one more thing about the food thing.
Okay.
Which is that somebody goes, how about we split this? And I'm like, dude, it's fucking gone. You guys took all of it already.
Right. Yeah.
Anyways.
The thing is, though, like, he was letting people have, it wasn't like he was trying to, like, shield it from, he didn't care. Right.
But it's still, they
it's
acted
still
like
nuts.
Fucking
oh,
animals.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
One night, he just keeps going around being like, I want to get rid of 432.
Yeah.
I'm like, gotta stop saying that. You got
well, yeah, he said it, and it's
everybody.
They shoot it like Brighton heard him. I don't know if that's actually the case, but they made it seem like Brighton heard him say, "I wanted to get rid of 4-3-2."
He might have, because he's telling every goddamn
right,
person
exactly,
he runs into.
Exactly. I don't know. I think that might have been just like classic reality show editing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Where they like just took a shot of Brighton looking over, like he was. You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
He doesn't really say anything to like to go. Oh, that's what he said, or like that guy said that about me.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't do anything like that. I wrote chicken nuggets in all caps because our friend
161 Lorenzo, what a fucking
says
weirdo.
He would rather have chicken nuggets than the millions of dollars right
I'm
now.
I'm like, dude, come on.
Because he's nuts. He's absolutely
nuts. I don't know why I wrote this down, but I wrote down, I don't think I could do it because I'm not an asshole, in quotes. So I can't remember what that's in reference
Brighton
to.
Brighton said that. Brighton
okay.
Because somebody mentioned, like, what if they call and say you could eliminate somebody, and Brighton said, I don't think I could do it because I'm not an asshole.
You're an asshole, Brighton.
Right.
At least own it.
Right.
Like, at least own it, dude.
Yeah. I was telling Jason and Tyler about this because I wanted them to watch the show, like, after
yeah.
we watched. And
yeah.
I was talking about how, because they asked why you posted that picture of Danny.
Yeah.
And I said, so they did this thing, and then she was, like, asking people, trying to justify, like, hey, you would do this, right? And they were all like, no, and that's why she made the face. And Jason's like, that's so cap. They would absolutely do that. And I said, I know it
yeah.
is, but it was just funny her reaction of having nobody agree with her. But, yeah, we were saying that last episode, that's cap. So then the final thing that happens in the episode is the phone rings again. And 198 Cringe Lord goes to answer it. And people are like, no, don't answer it. Oh, God, this guy's answering it again. Like, everybody knows it's going to be bad, right?
Yeah.
But he picks it up, and they give a pretty brilliant test to him. If he can agree to get someone else to answer the phone in the next 2 minutes, they will be eliminated. It's kind of like hot potato with the phone. So whoever is on the phone at the end of the 2 minutes will be eliminated.
I'm not sure if that's it.
Oh, you think?
I think he just needs to get it into somebody else's hands.
No. So the way they said it, from what I understand, is they said you're in danger of being eliminated. If you get someone else on the phone, they're in danger of being eliminated.
Okay.
So to me, it's like it's a timer, and whoever's on the phone at the end of the 2 minutes is eliminated.
So here's my thing. This is so easy. The fact that he's struggling is crazy. They say that. You go, oh, okay, cool, awesome. And you go, oh, guys, whoever takes the phone from me gets advantage on the next challenge. Like, I get to choose who to give an advantage to. It's a test.
Right.
You know? Because they said the test is you can choose to either do this or do that. And somebody's going to fucking fall for it.
Well, here's the thing.
I try to get 4-3-2 with it. I try to be like, 4-3-2, I want to give you advantage. But I don't think he'd fall for it. I think he'd be a little keener than that.
It's clear you wouldn't want to give that guy an advantage. So here's the thing. 198's an absolute idiot is the problem.
Yeah.
Here. Because his reaction, like, of like,
no poker face,
deer in headlights kind of.
Cause,
and he's like, hey, come here.
There's these three girls that like go up to him, like, oh my God, what's happening? What's he saying? And then he goes, oh.
Yeah.
And they go, okay. And they all run away.
Yeah, right. He is such an idiot. And he's been so transparent about his motives that there's no way anybody is going to take the phone from him.
No.
There's just no way. Your strategy's great if he had reacted differently, but
if he was better than this. Yeah. So here's my question of like, what do you think is gonna happen in that? Do you think we're gonna get like a tense 2 minutes of him not being able to get the phone to anybody? Or do you think somebody is gonna take it?
My head is saying no one's gonna take it. But my heart and what I want to happen is someone to take it. And then people to be like, 198, you're an asshole. And he has a target on his back after that.
Yeah. I don't know, dude.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I want to pose the question to the audience, as we did for the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, if you're here, if you're on the phone there and they say, hey, look. Actually, I'm going to make it a twofold question to do with the phone.
Okay, okay.
First of all, would you be like one of those absolute scavengers and just fucking go for the food?
Right.
And second, if you're given the scenario at the end that 198 is given, how are you getting somebody else on the phone?
What's your
and you
strat?
Can't say what I said because I already gave a great answer. So, you know, come up with another one. What's your strat? Those are the two questions I have for you
guys. Okay. All right. Good questions. Good questions.
Mike, I don't know. Do you want to answer them?
No, I don't want to give people answers. I'll answer them next time.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Because I'll just say whatever he ends up doing to get someone on the phone. Oh, yeah, I was going to say that.
There you go. Based.
All right. Wow. Okay. Yeah, this is, dude, I love this show. This is fun.
I love this show, too. It's very good. I'm still waiting for, like, the other shoe to drop, but I feel like if they were able to do the fucking cookie well, like, there's no way they fuck up anything else.
Yeah, a lot of the reviews I've seen, which I haven't read, I'm just, like, looking at headlines, have been, like, this show sucks.
Okay.
And a lot of it has to do with, like, this is, like, not in the spirit of what the show is, which I completely get.
We get that. But, like...
It kind of is at the same time.
I feel like I said last time, I feel like the executive producers and everybody, I think Netflix is not thinking about this, but I do think there's somebody on the creative team that has thought enough to make this kind of in the spirit of Squid Game. Cause I do think we're hitting some really like crazy social experiment type of shit with this. Like these people are acting ridiculous. And I think that is kind of in the spirit of the original show. And again, I don't know if it's just that the editors are really good at that, or if
I think people
that are actually making the challenges and stuff were, you know, smart enough to make it like that. But
here's my take that might be a hot one. The underlying theme that Squid Game presents to us ain't that deep, and this is just how people are, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I get it. Like, it's like, oh, consumerism and money. But, like, it ain't really that deep, guys. This is how people are.
Right.
You know, like.
It's like Nier Automata.
Right. Right. Yeah. Baby's first philosophy.
Exactly.
It's like, that's the spirit of the show. If you really want to act like that, like, oh, it's against the spirit of the show is against the spirit of the show, guys. Like,
the show getting a second season is against
or just in general, making
existing.
It this Netflix show is against the spirit of the show. It just is.
Yeah.
Like, and so, like, that argument is
especially
so funny to
when
me.
When you think about, like, you think about the story of how it got made of, like, he spent years wanting to make this show, and he tried and he tried and he tried, and then Netflix offered him a bunch of money to make it. It's like, okay, so you had this big message, and then when Netflix offered you a bunch of money, you made it with like one of the worst streaming corporations,
right?
Like,
but I'm
the story. It's. I get what you're saying. Like, I'm not judging anybody,
right,
and I
me
don't
neither.
Think you are either. Yeah, but like, it's like, come on, guys. The existence, like, I think like that's a bigger thing with us as a culture right now is we're very much like. I'm better than this. Like,
right, yeah.
I don't stand for this. Like, you guys
straw
are playing
man arguments,
something,
you know.
You guys are playing something made by this thing. That is so fucked up. Like,
but then you're posting it on X.
It's like you're on X.
You know?
You did all your Christmas shopping on Amazon.
Right.
Like.
You went to Starbucks 4 times this week.
Yeah.
It's like come on. Like, and again, I'm not judging people. I live the consumerism life as much as anybody. But like. There was this is totally a tangent. There's this guy who was part of the small indie company that released this game called Spirit Tea. And he had this, like, he basically did this Twitter thread talking about, like, how the game did in its first, you know, however long it's been out and how much money it made. And how he said he saw zero YouTube coverage because any YouTuber they reached out to wanted to be paid for
this.
It.
Yeah.
And everybody's jumping down this guy's throat. And it's like... He's like, you got zero coverage. Well, there's a video with 10K views. It's like, you guys, he's saying in, like, comparison to, like, other things. And it's like, why does everything someone says have to be, like, just completely, like, they're trying to trash this guy. And it's like, I get it. But, like, no one is free of these sins that we're all
well,
mad about, right?
Like, that's also the internet. The internet chooses a villain of any chosen, like, week and... It doesn't matter if, like, what they said was actually kind of reasonable. As soon as, I think it's also kind of human nature. As soon as there's an enemy, everybody is like, yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Again, a tangent, but recently, like, the Marvels came out, and the enemy of the week has been Nia DaCosta, the director. which is crazy.
Right.
The shit that they've been saying about her is insane. Like, unwarranted and totally crazy. So, like, you know, it's...
making a bad movie or making, like, a show that doesn't align with, like, the values that the show's messenger, these aren't things that we should be attacking people for.
No.
Not, and I'm not saying Marvel's is a bad movie. I haven't seen
no,
it.
No,
but
no,
I'm saying
I know.
That the argument that, like, this is a bad Marvel movie, so we need to tell people. It's like, guys, it ain't that serious. None of this is that serious. Just like,
well, yeah, that's like, I've never understood, like, why are you attacking the person that made the movie on a personal level, like, just because you didn't enjoy it? There's two exceptions to that. His name is Michael Waldron, and his other name is J.J. Abrams. Those two are fucking evil people.
No, they're not.
But
I guess I don't know if they are or not, but, like, based on what you know about them, we don't know if they are or not. That I'm just saying, like, there's, like, so much, like, and I'm not trying.
I'm with you.
I get it. Like, we are going to do what we're going to do, but, like, let's stop attacking people for just, like, a disagreement. Like,
hey,
if you guys want to attack, like, fucking medical insurance companies because of the way they charge people medical, that need, like, medical help,
yeah,
or, like, government workers, not workers, but government, like, politicians and stuff, like, sure, let's do it. But, like, bringing that same energy because someone directed a movie you didn't like, that's crazy.
Look, dude, Will.i.am said it best with the Black Eyed Peas. Where is the love, dude?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I'm so 2008, you're so 2000 and late. But
is that at all? Does that have anything
no,
to do
but
with
I thought that's
anything
what you were
talking
say.
About?
I thought that's what you were going to say.
Dude, where is the love?
It's true. He was not the only one to say it in that song, though. Fergie also said it, and Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, but at the end, he says it.
It's true. It's true. That, and no truer words have been said. Where is the love?
And I did say, where Will I Am and the Black Eyed Peas. It's just because whenever I think of the Black Eyed Peas, I just think of Will I Am.
Wow. Really, really hating on Fergie and other members of the Black Eyed Peas. Anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to Squid Pro Quo this week. Sean, where can people find you?
On Twitter, at Sean_AFK.
And you can find me on Twitter at Spike Getty Bros and all our other podcasts, including another podcast Sean and I do called What Is This? A Crossover Episode, which is in its third season right now. It's a BoJack. Second season. We're working on the third season. It's a BoJack.
Third season is in production. We had to pause production because of the strikes and because of this show. But
strikes? We did not pause production because of the strikes. Full disclosure. Before people get mad at us about that for some reason. But second season's coming out right now. It's on the YouTube channel. It's on podcasting services. Go check it out if you like the show. It's a BoJack Horseman recap podcast where Sean has never seen the show before, and it's one of my favorite shows. So we kind of go over it together. But anyway.
Yeah.
Sean, I am now agreeing to end this podcast. The game is to agree.
The game is to agree.
The game is to agree.
And Mike, I agree.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.